Welcome to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall, a discussion of blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, and why it matters to you.
Hello, folks. Welcome into Beyond the Blockchain. I'd like to welcome in here on this Tuesday night to the soon-to-be communist states of America. Things keep going this way.
Pretty much.
Blue
is red.
Our most worldwide known city, the home of 9/11, has decided to elect
$2 trillion economy.
Well, here's what's really interesting. I had this conversation a few minutes ago, and we can jump into some other stuff later. You ask yourself, what does that mean? What does the Mondami election mean for everybody else? I'll tell you one thing it means immediately. The city of New York gets $9.6 billion a year from the federal government.
Yeah.
8.5 of that is discretionary spending.
Wow.
So
wait, hold on. 8.5% of $96 billion?
8.5 out of the 9.6.
Oh, I'm sorry.
8.5 billion. Yeah, okay, yeah.
8.5
billion. So over 90% of it
is about to get
discretionary
yanked.
Spending. And when they're going to say, I'm not, and they've already said, I'm not giving money to.
Trump has said, I'm not giving a penny more than we have to.
A waste of money. That's the whole
thing.
Well,
Trump's also said, we're not giving a penny to a communist city more than the law mandates.
Yeah.
So any discretionary spending is out. Yeah, you should also expect all the federal office buildings to be relocated outside the city.
Which should be done anyway.
Well, probably so, but you're going to see them move to Trenton or Connecticut or somewhere like that. One of the greatest cities in the world, my favorite city. The reason I'm starting off with this is probably my favorite city in the world of all the places I've been to. In the past, when I've been to New York, I felt this energy, this vibrance, this like, you can just go conquer the world in this place because you can meet so many interesting people so fast.
It's a transactional city that you can literally transact anything.
You could be in a coffee shop and the guy next to you might be a billionaire and the other guy next to you might be starting the next billion-dollar business and the third guy is crazy as hell in line with you.
Networking even before the internet, primary networking.
And that's going to vanish.
We say that.
It's going to be 4 years. Here's what I think is going to happen. I think that the Trump administration, is going to, because this is his hometown, is going to make this so brutally painful that in 4 years it rebounds and they elect a less communist version. They'll go from communism to diet communism. And then maybe they'll eventually find their way back.
De Blasio was diet communism.
He already was.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're just going to end up with something like that again. But in the meantime, they're going to nuke their infrastructure base of people.
How did Giuliani ever get elected? I mean, looking at the, you know.
Well, Johnny told us last week that it was so bad that Giuliani promised law and order, and the people were craving law and order.
Do you know how Giuliani rose up?
No, I mean,
he was a prosecutor, I know.
Took down the mob.
Yeah, he was one of the first to use RICO.
He was an untouchable kind of to that. Yeah. So he was actually, like, famous before the internet.
Right.
And he was very well known, and there was a crime epidemic. It had gotten so bad in Manhattan. First of all, it was so bad in Manhattan, there was a Times Square serial killer, and no one knew it for 4 years. The guy killed 40 women. And that's how bad it was. They didn't even know they had a serial killer operating in an 8-block area. How bad it was.
Especially because so many of those people are transient, right? Like you're coming to Times Square is like a thing. But it goes back to that chart I sent you. And it's so hard to explain this on radio. But there's a chart that I sent you that shows the population of people in mental institutions and the populations in prison.
Yeah.
And there was an intersection of about 1975 when there were very few people in either one. Like it was just this really interesting like 5-year span from like 74 to 79 where very few people were in mental institutions, very few people were in prisons, and we had a huge surge in crime and all manners of crime, really.
And it hints the rise of, I would say, the spree killer, the serial killer, 68 to 74.
Right.
76.
Starts to track.
Yeah.
Starts to make a little sense.
Getting back to AI a little bit, there is the new news.
New news.
Yes. The Kalshi and Polymarket, the predictive markets.
Mm-hmm.
literally have been saying the winners of all these governor's races, all of these, the New York thing, yep. They didn't even wait. They went ahead, and the minute the polls closed, mm-hmm. went ahead and said these are the winners, and they are batting a very high percentage compared to traditional polls.
Last I saw, they were prediction markets in general, not even about politics, were 93% correct.
93%, that's right, yeah. And that, again,
way better than polls.
It's also skin in the game because look, this is people betting on the outcome of political things.
All right, so things.
We'll talk about that in a second. How about the next segment?
Yeah, next segment. I was going to say we'll get into that. And people don't understand what prediction markets are.
Right.
When we come back on Beyond the Blockchain, we'll talk more about prediction markets and why they matter to you.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain, where we're talking about the future, which is basically what we
talk about.
And
the present.
And the present. The future today.
The future is now.
The future today. If you want to get real scientific about it, the scientists say that the past, the present, and the future are all now. There is no past and future.
Okay.
There's just now.
You're getting into quantum mechanics, and that makes my head spin and my head hurt.
I'm just telling you what they say.
Did you see that research where it said gut feelings are actually...
Memories from the future.
Memories from the future.
I mean, love it. It's as good an answer as anything else I've got.
Memories of future past.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, what's interesting is it's not the future or the past. It's just the now. It's just the now, you in a different now.
Big circle.
We'd like to go off the rail. Oh, Johnny, you'll find this interesting. Everybody knows I coach softball. I love coaching softball for these girls. I was at the ballpark the other day, and a guy I was coaching with or coaching against came up to me before the game. He's like, "Hey, man, good show Tuesday night." I was like, "You listened?" He's like, "Yeah, I was in the car, and I listened." He goes, I was tracking almost everything, and then y'all got into aliens, and just like, I don't really know what's going on, but this is on brand for Scott. And I was like, if you listened every week, you would know it's very on brand for this show.
Especially the fourth segment.
Yeah, this show. That's probably when he tuned in.
Oh, of course it was.
But I was like,
lost in space.
That's on brand for this show.
I like it that way.
Johnny, what else is going on in the news? We normally jump further into the news quicker. Let's do that.
But I can give you a couple.
I think the news could lead us into predictive markets.
Okay, well, I want to say the Coca-Cola doubles down on AI. You can check out the new commercial for Coca-Cola. It's already online. And the best X post that I've seen compares last year's AI. Mm-hmm. They got a bunch of backlash on it, but they went ahead and did it again this year because it's the future of creativity. Yeah. And the crazy thing is the production of AI cut 12 months of commercial production to 30 days, with one studio needing just 5 specialists to generate and refine 70,000 clips. And that's the thing. Look, I used to own that agency. I used to do TV commercials. Dude, this TV commercial would have employed thousands of people in the periphery, everybody. It would have cost $3 to $5 million. They're doing it now like for a couple hundred grand. I mean, it's
for now,
crazy. I mean, it's cheaper than that next very year. Big deal. And Coca-Cola is one of those things where you follow the wheel, meaning like when they start doing it, everybody else is going to start doing it.
So on that, piggybacking on that real quick, I saw somebody saying like, this AI Coca-Cola commercial is so creepy. And this person responded and showed a picture of the original Santa Claus. Right. They're like, no, sir, this was creepy.
Looks like you just been on like a 4-day bender.
Yeah. You may have seen the same thing I saw.
Red nose.
Yeah.
Looks like if he'd be just as okay holding an axe as holding that sign that he had. Yeah.
It's a relative term.
Again, why you say creepy? It's like every Christmas scenery thing I've ever seen.
But nobody thinks CGI is creepy.
I know.
Nobody thinks, Jurassic Park, that was creepy. All that was a different version of technology.
Yeah. And my thing, too, is I always
say AI, too.
But I've always been a part of an ad agency that was scrappy to begin with. Like, we were tiny and had to use all of our resources to compete with the big guys. Mm-hmm. And the idea is, I love the fact of this, like, three people can be, like, as big as, like, an Ogilvy, as big as, like, anything on what we used to be called Madison Avenue, which is not even, like, really, Madison Avenue isn't even really the
Mom,
hub of advertising.
Mom
Donnie Avenue.
I think that I think we may have just coined a new term.
They might not even like advertising. I know they don't like booze. So,
They don't care. You can do anything as long as it's in the efforts of converting people to Islam.
Yeah, well, that doesn't work for capitalism very well, does it?
Well, Mondami said that socialism is – he said – actually, this was today. He said taxation is not theft. Capitalism is theft.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah.
Okay, well, at least we know what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, I also love their idea of in the glory of Allah, you can lie to get the end result.
100%. That's part. It's part of the.
And hold on, I'm not just saying that to be, you know,
you're not trying to be
Islamophobic.
No.
It literally, no,
they
is,
say you can lie. It's a word for it. Yeah. I can't even remember. But there's even a word for it.
Totally okay.
Well, again, I used to love New York, Manhattan. I've kind of had my fill of it. And they don't give a rip about where we live. And I'm at a point where let's see how this experiment plays out. And my thing is, let's see if it works and let's see if it doesn't work. And part of me says, you get the leader you deserve.
This is one of my favorite parts of the American experiment, is that different states can make different decisions and people can vote with their feet, which is why it's so silly that the Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, tweeted, I'm going to put 100% tariff on anybody that moves here from New York. You don't – how are you going to tariff a human, sir? No, like, it's the most absurd thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. Well,
the whole point of the – anyway, it's just silly beyond silly.
The people leaving would be the ones that did vote against. Like,
it doesn't matter.
Democrats, Texas doesn't want any more Democrats.
You can't tax who moves into your state differently than you tax the people of your state.
Yeah.
Dude, he might be just puffing his chest.
Blowing steam.
I think he was puffing something else.
Ha ha! Steam in that, too.
The Florida people have said,
Florida man,
we don't have any more room for you. We can't, our parts of like the Boca Raton and stuff. There's like our eco structure can't, like, especially their pricing can't handle these people coming down.
You know what the New Yorker said? We about to gentrify you, baby.
Yeah,
like, you think you can't afford it? We'll buy your stuff and you will move out.
The crazy thing is, Florida is so heavy Republican now that even an influx of 500,000 Democrats wouldn't change how many more Republicans are in Fayette, Florida right now.
Doesn't change state government, but it does change local.
Local, Well, hold on. Boca Raton's already going to be that way anyway.
But
yes,
Miami's purple.
Miami
Jupiter's
will be that
purple,
way too.
Palm Beach is purple.
Yes,
you're taking purple areas.
The tip of Florida at that far end is pretty Democratic.
Yeah, but when Miami goes communist, DeSantis got to deal with it.
Well, I will say
that is where they're going with this, right? Is like, okay, if it happens in New York, one thing, but if I'm the governor of Florida and Miami goes communist, I've got to deal with my state budget having to pick up with the shortfalls of that city.
And how is Miami going communist?
If demographics change enough and they vote, instead of being purple, vote more blue, which, and also Scott is saying, I think it's the idea of looking at these newer direction of the Democrats. They're not moderates at all. They're extreme socialists.
Yeah.
Because that is the face of the party now.
My point is 51 or 56.2, whatever the number is, percent of people in New York City are not communist.
No.
They're supporting the Democrat who is also a communist.
They're supporting the TikTok influencer.
Whatever they're doing. Yeah. Here's the thing. We can discount TikTok influencers.
No, I'm not discounting. I'm just saying that's what they care about. That's what they know. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you, again, look, one's an economist.
Doesn't matter if you like it or not.
No one's an economist. They don't know what a rent freeze does. They don't know the ramifications of freezing the rent.
No.
They think that's better for them. And the other thing is, the idea is, let's just say that 9% of New Yorkers that pay 54% of the taxes, how many of you think of that 9% are going to leave? Hold on, not leave, just leave for 181 days a year. I would say, let's just say 30%. How much money do you think that is in taxes away from that system right now?
It's got to be a lot.
It's got to be. It's got to be hundreds of billions. It's got to be. If you're paying 54% of the taxes of a city that needs that much income,
yeah, I don't know. So the interesting thing is going to what I predict is going to happen, and not like I predict, but just like I think is the programs that Mom Dami has promised are not actually able to be done by.
No, it has to be done. It has to be done in Albany
at a larger level. Yet, all the destruction will still happen. So he will destroy the city, the wealth will leave, and he still won't be able to do the things he promised people he
would
do.
And he'll blame racism, Islamophobia, and he'll blame everybody but the idea of the terrible ideas that have never worked anywhere in the world.
Well, you know, Johnny, I guess all these people in New York should just be less racist and less homophobic and less Islamophobic.
That's what it is.
And they should embrace the Muslim communists, which Islam and communism is a weird combination I did not see coming.
Okay,
anti-Western civilization, basically.
It's anti-Western. It's anti-Western. Exactly. But look at the history of Islam and Nazism. Look at that.
I do know.
You will blow your mind on that.
Iran.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, woo! I mean, Iran is called Iran because Hitler told him to call it Iran.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did we talk about that?
I didn't know that.
On the show. All right, here's what happened. They were the Kingdom of Persia.
Right.
Hitler believed that the Aryan race came from that land, Iran. And he told them.
Aryan.
Basically, just go ahead and become Iran and I won't invade you. And they were like, good idea. We're Iran.
We're Aryan. I didn't know that. Iran means Aryan.
Yep.
That's exactly what the word means.
The people are Persian.
Yeah. I'm just shocked that.
No, can I also clarify? Some historian is going to call in and say, like, you don't.
But we're not historians.
That's the general idea. I feel confident. I saw it on TikTok. So I know it's true.
It must be true.
It's got to be true.
I think I saw it on Ancient Aliens.
I saw three. I saw three TikToks and one Ancient Aliens episode. I take the four, has to Hitler's. Be true.
I don't want to say it's Aryans, but it's Aryans.
Hitler's. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. That's one of my favorite memes.
Well, okay. I'm old enough to remember a bunch of Saudi Arabians and a couple of other people that were Muslims put planes into buildings in that city. Hold on. If you believe it or not, that's what the narrative is.
It was the narrative.
And the words "never forget" came up, and now they're making a Muslim the mayor of that city less than 25 years after that happened. I'm sorry. You deserve the leader you get. Oops. You deserve to live in that city. You deserve everything coming your way that I think is coming to New York City.
Can I tag you?
Voted that way.
Can I tag AI onto this conversation?
Sure.
I think in the next 5 years, it's going to be the same as 25 years worth of time. Mm-hmm. So 5 years from now, we'll be able to look and be like, the way we thought 25 years ago about that, it'll be the same.
It's like it's like exponential length now.
Exactly.
Yeah,
except
25 years is now like 75 years.
Except it's only going to get shorter.
Yeah.
So after 5 years, when we hit this five, and look, we say 5 years right now, but 3 years ago on this show, we told you it was going to be 20 years before this stuff happened.
You're right.
Now we're saying in 5 years. Well, I think in 5 years, God willing, terrestrial radio still exists, and we're talking about
Hey, there'll always be terrestrial radio. We'll see.
Maybe. We'll see.
Hey, yeah.
We could have a separate conversation.
Three years ago, we talked nothing but crypto and Bitcoin. We haven't even mentioned that crypto is below $100,000 today and had a 30% drop in the last 3 or 4 weeks.
But you know
we
what?
We just brought it up.
You know what? It's still up 400% than the last time when we started this show.
That's when you say, when you get all freaked out, zoom out and watch the chart from the long distance. And the air. By the way, before you can ricochet, before you can take off to the moon, you have to pull back and before it takes off. So.
Baby, I'm just holding on for 75. I'm not buying until it goes to 75. Yeah, and when it does, I'm hammering.
I'm in a holding pattern right now.
Yeah. All right, we'll see you on the backside of the show.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hello, folks. Welcome back into the show. You're listening to Beyond the Blockchain. We've been talking about the elections tonight. We've been talking about some AI stuff. This is one of those nights, Johnny, where if we had a five-hour show, we still couldn't cover everything we want to talk about. So we're going to do the best we can.
But we haven't talked about anything other than the like election and
I know. Well, I'm saying we could talk about 5 hours about this. Yeah. I mean,
even with Sliwa going with Cuomo,
it still wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd still be two points behind Mamdani.
Well, the good news is you don't have to show an ID to vote in New York. So,
right.
I mean,
anyone can vote
as many times as they want.
A citizen of Pakistan, you can vote.
You just keep going. Just keep voting.
70 or 80,000 additional votes like that. I mean, it didn't have to be more than...
The whole thing is absurd that you have to have an ID to drive a car. You have to have an ID to do everything in the world except...
Dude, how dare you say that? Yeah, I know. How dare you?
And somebody pointed out that the NAACP...
What a Cro-Magnon man I am.
You are literally a caveman.
Neanderthal.
How in the world do you function in life
maybe a
thinking Denisovan. That way that you have to prove who you are to do things in the government?
It's ridiculous. How dare I?
Well,
we know who you are here.
Yeah. Prediction markets.
Can I explain it real quick, like
Please.
A fifth grader?
That would be fantastic.
Okay. Imagine you and your friends want to guess who will win the big soccer game. Instead of just saying, I think Team A will win, you each put a pretend dollar on your guess. If Team A wins, everyone who picks them splits the pot and gets more money back. If they lose, the people who pick the other team wins the money. Predictive markets are like that, but grown-ups use real money or special points on big questions like who will be president or will it rain tomorrow? The more people who bet on the right answer, the smarter the price gets at showing what's more likely to happen, kind of like a super smart poll made by everyone's guesses. Mm. That's predictive markets explained to you like you're in fifth grade.
So the next level of that, if you want to give the seventh grade example, is every contract is worth a dollar. People can decide
but
what
the contracts
side they
are
want.
A yes or a no.
Yes
based
or
on
a no
subject.
For a dollar. But yes. let's say, for example, we believe there's a 90% chance something happens.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy yes for 90 cents. But you can buy no for a dime.
Right.
So we're splitting this dollar amongst the probabilities.
Right. So it's a share. So somebody's buying it for 90 cents, somebody's buying it for 10 cents.
But you have to have one person on each side of the transaction.
Right.
And this is what keeps it different than gambling.
Right.
And peer-to-peer gambling. It's peer-to-peer.
Yeah. That's why it's legal in most states.
All 50 states.
Now, why can't Polymarket, which is a brain, it's a company, why can't they operate in the United States?
They haven't got clearance from the government yet.
But if it's not gambling, what the heck's the problem?
You have to prove you are what you say you are.
Oh, it's a viable company. You have to prove it's a viable. Now, Kalshi is okay.
Kalshi is already allowed in the United States. Right. Polymarket's all over the world.
Except for America.
The point is, we've already approved prediction markets in the United States. They're just going through the process of getting approved.
Yep.
It's also why I don't know if you saw this headline. It was either FanDuel or DraftKings basically said, we're changing our business model to a prediction market.
Oh, really?
Because if all I can gamble on is sports on FanDuel and I can gamble on everything in the world on a prediction market, why would I ever use a sports book?
Yeah.
Why would I do that? So basically it's going to kill sports.
Now, you've been playing around with it a little bit, right?
A little bit. I've just been testing.
Now, have you been doing sports?
I do a little bit of politics, sports, pop culture.
But what?
I'm really just trying to understand how it works.
Yeah, because my thing was, I got to the point where I can't learn something new right now. I didn't want to sit there and have to figure it out. I kind of wanted you to tell me how it worked.
Yeah, so I'll give you an example. You're watching an Alabama football game.
Okay.
Let's take a game. Who did they play last?
South Carolina.
Okay, South Carolina. All right, so let's say the game starts out at 92% of people are betting Bama's going to win. So you got 92 and 8, right?
Yeah.
So you can buy South Carolina wins for 8 cents on the dollar.
It almost sounds like money line.
It is exactly like the money line.
Yeah.
You're betting yes or no. Who's going to win?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, so 92 and 8. Well, the difference is when you are betting on sports, you're locked into that bet when the game starts.
Yeah.
And you're stuck in that bet. With a prediction market, I can take South Carolina at 8 cents.
Yeah.
And it if changes. South Carolina gets the ball and scores on the first possession, it might go up to 11 cents. At that point, anywhere along the way, I can sell my shares and I can decide 3%, plenty. I'm perfectly happy with that. Wow. I think South Carolina is going to lose anyway. I'll just take my 11%. So I did this with the Dodgers and the Blue Jays. I thought the Dodgers were going to win a game. I trusted in their bullpen. I bought the Dodgers at 74 cents to win the game in like the fourth inning. In the sixth inning, it went up to 78 cents. And I was like, do I want to sell? Do I not? I didn't do anything. The Blue Jays loaded the bases. It dropped to 76 cents. I sold at 76 cents. The Blue Jays got a hit. I bought the Blue Jays at 24 cents. I rode the Blue Jays up to 30 cents during the inning. When the inning was over, I still believed the Dodgers were going to win. So I sold the Blue Jays at 30 cents and bought the Dodgers at 70 cents.
It reminds me of like the commodities market.
It's exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The weird thing is like.
But I'm betting against other people.
Right, right. And also it's like corn futures. You don't get to bet on the other side of it. I mean, I guess you do shorts and longs, I guess.
But here's the best part of it.
Puts and longs, yeah.
The people betting on corn futures know what they're doing.
Right, yes.
These people are a bunch of drunks sitting around watching the ball game. All you got to do is be sober and pay attention and take advantage of the
I can't
people.
Believe there's not bots already set up to make that happen.
There are.
Yeah.
There's a bot that I saw the other day that's making 70 trades a second.
70 trades a second.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's
the office space model of taking fractions of percentages along the way.
But I guess the other thing is you can probably use somebody else's bot parameters. Like you don't have to figure out the parameters. Someone says, I've made this bot and use it. You know what I'm saying? Like a macro bot.
If it's not already happening, it will happen. Yeah. I haven't seen that yet.
I know KuCoin.
I think right now the people are keeping the bots to themselves. Because they don't want to these markets are really shallow.
They don't want to change.
Like even on Polymarket, on Kalshi, when I was playing during the Dodgers Blue Jays game, there was only a volume of like $700,000 traded over the entire course of the game.
Yeah. So it's still super. It's almost like they're testing it.
Mm. Well, there's just not that much volume
inside
the ecosystem. So on the good side is there's large swings that can be. So somebody made the analogy and it made sense to me. In 2012, when you were buying Bitcoin, there might be a $10,000 difference, not 2012, take it to like a little further down, but there might be a $1,000 difference on this exchange to that exchange. So you could buy here, move it into your wallet, sell it there.
Yeah.
So you're arbitraging.
Right. So you're making money immediately based on you know how the exchanges are working going. Mt. Gox might have it for $960, but somebody else might have it at 1,050.
Perfect example today. Somebody put $1 million on Mondami to win on Polymarket.
Which he did.
Yeah, they just called it, by the way.
And $1 million for Cuomo to win on Kalshi.
Oh, I saw that.
Based on the spread, they were guaranteed to make $10,000 at a minimum no matter what happened.
Yeah.
If Mondami wins, they make this much. But
either
way, the spread, because they got Mondami for 90 and they got Cuomo for 13.
Was that 0.3 and 0.90?
Really 90 and 13 or 103?
Percent and a half.
Yeah, percent and a half. But if you are the type of person that's sitting on $100 million and you're hoping to make 7% over the course of the year and you can make 1.5% in one night, that's a bargain. So they're just arbitraging. Now, that doesn't work if I'm betting $10.
No.
Because I'm only making.
It's not worth your time.
Yeah. And it's not worth me risking the capital being outlaid for, 60 days for that.
Gambling and doing a business revenue spreadsheet that we did is the only time that I've ever thought I've needed math in my life.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
I mean, seriously. And it's not algebra either.
Mm-hmm. You know what? This is interesting.
Or definitely not gambling.
While we're on the topic of gambling,
yeah.
There is a theory now that's starting to gain popularity that the people throwing the roulette ball, so they're spinning it with spinning the wheel with one hand, throwing the ball with the other hand.
Yeah,
they think there are people that can drop the ball where they want to drop the ball. based on how hard they spin it, how hard they throw the
ball.
Okay, so
when I was in Vegas a couple weeks ago, there are all those traditional table games are digital now. And Stacy, my wife, did not understand who the heck would want to sit at a digital.
Same people that play video poker.
I understand that. I understand that. But it's like the idea of like, it seems like it'd be, but what you're saying is just as much manipulation on humans doing it as it would be the spin of an artificial number generating machine.
Maybe more. You're going to assume that the computer is randomizing it?
Yeah.
Because that's in the best interest of the business.
You would think.
To randomize it?
Yes.
The problem with the guys, as this guy was saying, this was like a Vegas inside gambling guy.
Yeah.
He said the problem with those guys is they're real easy to get to. They don't make that much money. They're working the floor.
Oh, yeah.
You slip them $1,000, you get the role you need. And then you just move on your way. Nobody knows any of the wiser.
Right, right, right. Again, the trick is always is not to be greedy because the idea is a certain amount of percentage is not going to be looked at. If you get greedy, you get popped. I've seen that a lot with rigging basketball, college basketball games. One of the biggest ones that were done was Arizona State, three commodities guys. Mm-hmm. And they spread out the bet over like 14 or 15 different sports books. So it was a certain amount of money.
Yeah.
And they got it done the first time, and they did one more that night. I forget how they did it. And then they told everybody, no more. Like, we can't do any more because they'll catch us. Well, the dumb point guard for Arizona State said, I need more money, and did something. And then all of it, when he got caught and then got arrested, he spilled the beans on everything. But that's how they caught it, was that one extra, I think, $25,000 bet.
So I also learned this from the NBA and MLB scandals that have happened over the past few months.
That was in the news and kind of went away. So I guess,
So the interesting thing about that is, that got flagged by the sports books and corroborated by the sports books have an internal like system where they report to one another. Hey, this sketchy bet. Yeah. Has anybody else seen a sketchy bet?
Yeah.
And so they're all internally working together to
I can't believe there's not AI already flagging that stuff.
Gotta be already. Yeah, they just haven't told us about it.
Yeah.
All right, folks. When we come back, we'll go beyond the blockchain.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
All right.
All right, so here's the question of the day.
That was a lot. No, we're not doing that.
No, here's the question of the day.
Okay.
Civil War of the American Revolution comes up. You fighting or you sitting this one out?
Let's see. You know, only 3% actually fought in the Revolutionary War.
You had a third that were loyalists. You had a third that were patriots. And you had a third that didn't care.
I am not a brave person like to begin with.
You're going to provide support from the backside. You're going to develop the literature and the
To enlist people.
No, not just to enlist people, but to convince people to join the cause. You'll be the one building the branding.
I would say this. I would defend my homestead and my family.
Yeah, that's a good
answer. But I don't think I would travel somewhere to take on that fight.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere.
So there you go.
No, I'll defend me and mine. Yeah. That's it.
But I will say that. But the idea of, like,
Are you ready? I mean, do you think you're ready to be able to defend your family? You
know? I guess it depends on what I'm defending it from.
I mean, until I get my rocket launcher, my Claymore mines, and my grenades.
Yeah, doesn't matter. Here's the thing. Doesn't matter because I saw a really interesting video. This casually goes into Beyond. If we would have had attack helicopters like we have now, the modern helicopters.
I gotcha.
It's estimated that we would have lost about zero soldiers on D-Day.
Huh. But what would the Germans? What would the Germans have had?
That's just if we would have had them.
Oh well, duh.
It's about asymmetric warfare. Here's the point. Yes. Drones are asymmetric warfare.
Correct.
So if you don't have a drone, it does not matter.
A drone army.
Drone swarms.
But do you have a drone? Do you have a drone?
Not a drone swarm, and I don't have armed drones, so it doesn't really matter what I think.
Drones can be changed. I mean, drones can be outfitted with.
Of course they can. Well, okay. But let's say I owned a dozen drones, but it doesn't really matter. I'm not going to really do anything to stop the government from.
Right. Well, first of all, at some point, hold on, you can hold them off for a certain point, but the end result's going to be the end result. You're not going to win that.
We live in a world of asymmetric warfare. Here's my point. During the American Revolution, it was muskets and muskets against cannons and cannons.
Yeah, but what was the Revolutionary Warfare? It was there were militaries, as in
we were a guerrilla force.
We were willing to shoot them from the woods while we hid, and they didn't think that was appropriate.
Yeah,
that was the entire difference in the war.
That's true. And also, we attacked at night. That was the whole thing about crossing the Delaware.
We didn't care what they thought the rules were.
We were the underdog, and we were doing whatever it takes. And the idea was there is no rules in war, which I totally agree. There's no rules in war. It's ridiculous. I mean, you're killing everybody. It's ridiculous to say there's rules in war.
So, you know,
When it comes down to your if you're a general in the Navy, and you hear that your family is about to be killed by the government, surprisingly, your aircraft carrier is suddenly going to be heading in the wrong direction. Not the direction the government told you to go in, but coming after the guys who are going to kill your family.
I think it's cute that you think one person decides where a battleship goes. Because
I'm not talking about one. I'm talking about a lot of people. If all the soldiers on that ship find out that their families are going to be slaughtered.
Yeah, but who's where is that happening?
If
what are they going to do? Jump off the ship? They're going to abandon the ship?
No,
it's never going to get to that. It's not going to be at scale. It'll be hyper targeted. I saw a really interesting article today that makes total sense. It says the threat of AI is not the Terminator. The threat of AI is 1984 because when the AI tells you what history was, you have no ability to tell what's the truth and what's not the truth.
Right.
Because the truth only exists in what the AI delivers to you.
Right. Well, also, our memories are short.
But even if you have books, like the
books. Not if you knew where they came from.
See, you know, it's that parallel of 84 and Fahrenheit 451 with the idea of erasing people and erasing history.
Right.
The more I see a lot this idea of dystopian analogies of where we are, it's actually 451, Fahrenheit 451, much closer than we are to the 1984.
Yeah, maybe.
But it's fascinating because, as the jokes always say, these were not guidebooks, people. These were cautionary tales.
That's right. Yet
it looks like we see governments using these cautionary tales as guidebooks. And you know what? Like sheep, we kind of let it happen. You know, we just let it happen.
Well, also, we're not biologically built for this. I mean, this idea of rapid transformational change has really only been a 100-year invention since, you know, maybe go 150 years to the start of the Industrial Revolution. But 150 years out of 4.5 billion on this planet, you can't expect the brain to evolutionarily change fast enough to compensate for this.
Mm-hmm. And also, let's just say you did put a militia together.
What are you gonna do?
Yeah. What are you gonna do?
You're gonna do nothing.
Yeah, I love to hear these people talk.
I'm telling you, the militaries will split. There will be aircraft carriers versus aircraft carriers. Yes, there will be.
In what
there
country?
Here in the United States, they will split into separate nation states. The United States will split up into
all they
got to
do is turn the power off, and it doesn't matter.
They'll have their own power grids, their own nuclear power plants.
You think the government's going to let random military personnel create their own power grid? The Alabama Power won't let me hook a solar panel to my house.
I can't even put a solar panel on my house.
Yeah, if you think we can stop the government from doing anything, you were just kidding yourself.
Who is the government?
Exactly.
Well, there's federal and there's state. I mean, come on.
Who's the government?
What conversation are we getting
into tonight? I don't know. This conversation
is
going off the rails.
You're in a mood tonight, Scott.
No, I'm not in a mood. I'm in a mood of...
For love.
I will care about the things that matter to me.
That's true.
I don't care about things that don't matter to me.
Well,
because I can't do anything about them.
I find it interesting.
I find it interesting just like I watch a college football game. But at the end of the college football game, I don't go tell Hugh Freeze. I don't go to his house and demand that he answer to my decision.
Right.
Like, I don't think you should have called that on third down. He doesn't care.
Yeah, the narcissism that I get of that is absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah,
because that's the one thing that gets me when I listen to sports radio. I actually heard an Alabama station where one of the longtime fans was talking about we've got to think about the next game. That's all that matters. And I keep thinking, what does anything that a fan do anything to change the outcome? You think that what you do during your week, or you wear your magic underwear, mm-hmm. has anything to do with the thousands of hours and planning that those young men do on that field? God bless you if you think that way. It's the most narcissistic thing I've ever heard in my life.
I saw a great example of this.
Percentages of power.
Dabo Sweeney went off on one of his players on the sideline mm-hmm. in the game, just dog cussing him, just getting after him. And the kid laughed in his face.
Yeah.
And
he goes, I get paid more than you do.
Yeah, and these people were like, we don't do that at Clemson. Like, well, you do, because you just did. And actually, the people need to understand that the way you wish the world worked doesn't work anymore. These kids are in control.
Oh, yeah.
These coaches are not in control.
Yeah.
Kids are in control.
I do like the one thing that the governor of Louisiana is the governor of Louisiana, which I'll leave that to your whatever. But he did say something that was interesting. The idiot that is the AD at Louisiana State is the same dingus that hired Jimbo Fisher, that was a $70 million failure. And then this other guy, Brian Kelly, it's a $50 million failure. And that guy still has a job.
You know what he said?
And there's no accountability for that AD.
You know what he said? It was never my decision. I didn't make either of those decisions. The booster told me who I was hiring in both instances.
Hilarious.
You think the AD's making the decision?
But I get it, but
who's writing the check?
Someone has to have accountability.
Whoever's writing the check. Yeah, you just fire the guy that you put in there to cash your check. But the people writing the check make the decisions.
We got to go.